You know, the reason the apostle keeps giving so many examples of faith in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is to show believers, to show us that true faith in God overcomes every kind of difficulty which we face in this life. Every example that's been given has been accompanied with a great trial. A trial so great that the strongest strength and the wisest wisdom of men has been too weak and too foolish to overcome the obstacle. And yet, over and over, we see frail, sinful men and women prevailing. And the true faith overcomes not because of any power in the believer, but faith rests in God, who is our power, and it's by His faithfulness to us that we overcome. The Spirit of God gives the one and only reason that they prevailed by repeating one phrase over and over and over in this chapter. You know what phrase it is? By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. And once again, in our text this morning, we meet with that same phrase. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Now, here we have a contrast between faith and unbelief. Faith passed through the Red Sea. Unbelief was drowned in the Red Sea. The title of the lesson is The Salvation of Faith, The Destruction of Unbelief. And what I want you to see this morning is, by faith, the believing Israelites did something they had no power within themselves to do. They obeyed the command of God and they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. And the Egyptians, in their hatred for God and for God's people, in total unbelief, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army presumed that they could cross the Red Sea by the power of their own strength, and God drowned every one of them. This is a real thing that happened. It really happened. And do you think it's a fierce thing that God drowned Pharaoh and all his army? One day, God's going to punish a host of people by sentencing them to an eternal condemnation in hell. This is just a glimpse of what God's judgment is and His justice is. And it's true and right. I want you to see that this morning, the trial of Israel's faith, the salvation of faith, the destruction of unbelief, and faith's rejoicing. That's the four points we'll look at. So let's first see the trial of faith. It's true faith only, that they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. But it was not without a great trial of their faith. If God saves you through the Red Sea of salvation or the Red Sea of trial, He will first put a hedge about you so that you have no ability whatsoever to turn anywhere else but to Him. The children of Israel went out of Egypt, the scripture says, with a high hand, meaning they went out rejoicing and claiming, professing to trust God and that they would always trust God. They were happy. They were rejoicing. They were free. And their hands were high, symbol of being happy as opposed to hands that hang down when you're sad and full of sorrow. And they had eaten the Passover, and they had seen that God had spared their firstborn. When he saw the blood, justice was poured out on every house in Egypt, including the Israelites' house. But the difference was God provided a lamb in the Israelites' home, and their children died in a lamb rather than themselves. And so God passed over when he saw the blood. And they saw that, and they rejoiced in that. And miraculously, the Egyptians, when they got ready to go, they went to the Egyptians and said, "We need your gold and your silver." And just like God had told them, amazingly, the Egyptians gave them gold and silver and prepared them for the trip to go, to leave. They walked out of Egypt in the night, just like the Lord commanded them to. They rejoiced over Moses and followed his leadership with much delight. Moses had been the one that had gone and talked to Pharaoh for them time and time again, and the one through whom the Lord had wrought all these plagues upon Egypt. And so they followed Moses excited and happy. And so 600,000 men plus women and children are now, they've come to a place where they're camped out. They followed Moses to the plains of Pi-Hithoroth. It's a pass between the wilderness and two great rocks. And there they camped between a great fortified wall called Migdol. It was an Egyptian fortified wall that was built to protect them from the eastern, from people from the east. And that between that, they were between that and the Red Sea, which was wide and mighty and too deep and too wide for them to cross. And then over against one of the Egyptian idols was there too, called Baal-Zephon. And he was just an idol, but he was built up like a big tower. And his job was, as an idol god of Egypt, was to keep the enemies from fleeing from Egypt and to keep their enemies from coming into Egypt. And so there, this idol god is staring down upon them as well. But in all their zeal, they may or may not have realized that in the place where they camped, they had shut themselves in on every side, so that there was but one way in and one way out. And then, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 14, hold your place in Hebrews 11, but we'll be in Exodus 14 for the majority of the lesson. And then, there in that one way out, that one path that led out, this is what they beheld. Verse 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." They cried out to the Lord, but their cry to the Lord is shown here to be the same cry that they cried to Moses. It was merely a murmuring against God and a murmuring against his servant. But here's something that they didn't know. Here's something they had no idea about. Back when they reached this place called Etham, they could have continued east across on their path they were going, and they would have went through the desert where Pharaoh's chariot wheels couldn't have even traveled. And they could have avoided the Red Sea altogether. And they could have been out of Egypt's border completely and in the wilderness in no time. But the Lord works entirely opposite of the way man thinks. He works entirely opposite of the way that we think things should be done. And he did it for a reason. Look back now at Exodus 14, verse 1. This is what they had no idea had taken place. There was a revelation given to Moses by God. And this is what it was. At Etham, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And the Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When things were good, the children of Israel heard Moses say, We're not going to continue straight to this path that'll just lead us right out of here. We're going to turn now and stay in Egypt and go on this other direction. And they followed him. They were still happy, had this high hand, rejoicing and enjoying their freedom. Well, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them in camping by the sea. And it says there, as they drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and they beheld the Egyptians marching after them, and they became sore afraid, and they cried out unto the Lord, and they began to chide Moses and murmur against him. Why did you bring us out here, Moses, to this place? The Lord gave this great trial to test whether or not their high hands would remain high by faith in him, even when faced with the impossible. It was the Lord that brought them here. It was the Lord that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Everything that took place here to bring this trial upon them, the Lord did it. The Lord did every bit of it. And almost every one of them proved that while they professed to believe God, all along, they didn't believe His promise. They didn't trust His faithfulness, and they were looking to their own strength rather than the power of God. And so when the Lord hemmed them in, trapped them, so that they had nowhere to turn but to Him, all they did was murmur and complain towards God and His servant Moses. These are those that the Scripture says later, in Deuteronomy, later the Lord says of them, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. But I thought our text said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. That's exactly what it says. Arthur Pink is exactly right when he points out the pronoun, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. But it doesn't say, by faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. You see, it doesn't speak of all the children of Israel that passed through the Red Sea. All of them did pass through the Red Sea, but not all of them passed through by faith. And the only reason those that didn't believe God passed through was because they were with God's elect. And He would have them delivered, and they had a temporal benefit from what God did for His people in grace. But the they who passed by or passed through the sea in faith is Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, Miriam, and a small remnant who truly believed God. You mean out of all that 600,000 people, those were the only ones that truly believed God? That's exactly right. Those are the only ones that truly believe God. And they were just as frail as those that didn't believe God. And this trial was just as much for them as it was for those that didn't believe God in their midst. And they too needed to be saved from their unbelief. But the Lord brought them to the place where they could not flee for themselves. He brought them to a place where they could not fight for themselves. He brought them to the place where they could only trust the Lord. That's all they could do, is just trust the Lord. And that's exactly why He brings the trial. That's exactly why He brings us to the trial. God hems us in so that we have to trust Him. And by faith, when we trust Him, and we see that He makes us more than conquerors by His power and by His grace working in us, we learn to trust Him. We learn to believe Him. We learn to trust Him. Well, now having seen the trial of Israel's faith, let's pass to the second point. Let's see the salvation of faith. Moses, in him we see what true faith does. They're crying out in a big show, and it would appear they're all praying to God, but they're demanding something of God. They're murmuring against God, just like they murmured against Moses. And here's what Moses said, Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, why on earth should they believe this man? Why on earth should they believe Moses? Well, God had revealed His word to this man, and God had given this man to them to teach them what He just taught them. That's one reason. That's one reason. But you see here a contrast between unbelief and faith. Unbelief blamed God's servants. By faith, Moses ignored it. He just ignored their chiding. He ignored what they were saying about Him. Just ignored it. Unbelief lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians and were sore afraid. But by faith, Moses turned his eyes from the Egyptians to the Lord and said, "Fear not." And what he said was to turn their eyes from the Egyptians to the Lord. When they were crying out, even in their prayers, they were turning men to the Egyptians. But when Moses stood up, he said, "Turn from the Egyptians and turn your eyes to the Lord and fear not." And unbelief clamored about because they saw only death before them. By their natural eye, all they could see was death looming over them by these Egyptians coming towards them. But faith saw salvation. Faith, before it ever came to pass, before it ever happened, Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall show you today." How are they going to see it at this point? It hasn't come to pass. How are they going to stand still and see it? By faith. Moses is saying, "Trust the Lord. Believe it. He's going to save us today. We're about to see Him. Stand still and watch what He'll do. Watch Him." Unbelief looked for a way out of this trap by their own hands. But faith, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You just be quiet. The Lord will do the fighting. The Lord will do the conquering." If faith believes the Lord, faith sees the Lord's salvation, that He is salvation. And faith sees that with God, all things are possible. There's no way out around them. There's rocks on one side, a big fortified fortress. There's a wilderness on another side, this narrow pass through which the Egyptians are marching just as fast as they can come. And in front of them is the Red Sea. Where are they going to go? They got to go to God. That's the only place they can go. Only place they can go. And by faith, while all this murmuring and clamoring was going on, and they were chiding against Moses, and they were crying out against God, while all that was taking place, you know what Moses was doing? Moses was silently making supplication to God. He was praying to God all along. He was frail too. He was frail too. He had heard the promise, just like you've heard the promise. But when the trial comes upon you, do you still tremble? You still tremble, don't you? And he trembled. He knew that he didn't see this thing, but by faith he prayed that by faith the Lord would deliver him. And he believed the Lord would. But he prayed the whole time. And verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses." And you just listen to that right there. They cried out to the Lord too. Moses silently cried out to the Lord, humbly seeking his face. These men in the back, we have prayer back here. And it's not a show, it's not a ostentatious thing, it's not a puffed up, prideful thing. It's in humility. It's humble. We come before our holy God humbled and asking his mercy and his grace, casting our care upon his mercy and his grace, counting him holy and power and sovereign and able to do whatsoever he's pleased. And we petition him based upon who he is and the promise that he's given to us. And that's what Moses did. And you don't read, "The Lord spoke to the children of Israel." You read, "The Lord spoke to Moses." He heard Moses. If we're going to come to him, we got to come to him in the manner in which he demands we approach him. We have to approach him in his lordship, bowing to him, casting our care upon him alone. Somebody might say, "Well, if the Lord would speak to me like he did Moses, I'd believe him." The Lord has spoken to you. Right here in this word, the Lord is speaking to you. Right here, just as real as the Lord spoke to Moses, the Lord is speaking to us right here. Salvation is by revelation of the Lord in the heart, in spirit, and not in the flesh. Now look here at verse 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses," he answers Moses. This is not a rebuke to Moses. This is a telling Moses, "It's time now to quit praying to me and to take action." "The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." Moses stayed himself upon the Lord. He was praying, waiting the word of command, and until it was given, he stood still. But when the Lord revealed in his heart the way, by faith, Moses obeyed him. Moses obeyed him. Verse 19 says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, that led them, that was leading them by day, was a cloud by day that they followed, and by night it was a fire that lit the way. This angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud in darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night." Do you remember a few months ago, I was preaching a message to you, and if I'm not mistaken, it's in Isaiah. I can't remember the chapter, but when the Lord said, "I will be your re-reward," I will be your re-reward, what that means is, I will be your rear ward, your rear guard. And just as this cloud went behind them and stood between them and the Egyptians. There was that the Lord, the rear ward, guarding them from behind so that the Egyptians couldn't attack them from behind. Now, it says, verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the water, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." They were saved because God Almighty, the Lord of heaven and earth, Jehovah, Christ Jesus the Lord, saved them. He led them forth. He divided the waters so that they could cross on dry land. He went behind them and protected them from the Egyptians. He gave them light to see in the darkness. And they obeyed his voice. Moses followed and went, and all the children of Israel followed and went, and they went across. And they were saved. They were saved because by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now you'll hear a lot of people, a lot of scientists and things that are trying to prove how the Red Sea was divided. Here's how it was divided. The Word says this is how it was divided. The Lord did it. This is how it was divided. Millions of dollars are spent trying to figure out how that sea was divided. And all you got to do is spend about $50 for a Bible and you can read just how it happened. The Lord divided it and they went across. The way that you're going to be saved, the way that you're going to be brought into heaven's glory is one way and one way only. It's going to be by God's grace, by Him dividing the sea. The sea of wrath, the sea of sin, the sea of death, the sea of Satan, which stormed against you like a mighty raging sea. It's going to be because He divided it, separated it, and made the way. And He, being the way, is the path in which we cross, and we go across on dry ground, saved by Him, by His grace, by faith. There's some more contained in this concerning it being a picture of baptism. But for time's sake, we'll have to look at that another time. But today I want to stick with what I'm teaching you. And let's go now thirdly to the destruction of unbelief. Pharaoh refused to believe God. He didn't believe God. He did not trust God. Here we have one people who trusted God and they went across safely to the other side. Now here we come to a people who do not trust God. Why should he bow to God, though? He was a king. That's why you won't bow to God. Those of you who have not bowed to God, the reason you don't bow to God is you consider yourself a king, better than God, greater than God, more powerful than God. Why do you need God? That's exactly what Pharaoh thought. He had an army. Why should he turn to God for strength? That's exactly what you think, you who do not trust the Lord. You think, I've got an army of good works. I'm not near as bad as the next fella. I've got an army of intelligence. I know that God is. I believe God. The devils believe God and tremble. That doesn't mean anything. You have an army of how you'll save yourself. Well, I'm just going to have a little fun while I'm young, you know. Down the road, I'll make a profession down the road, but right now, while I'm young, I want to enjoy myself. So why should you go to the Lord? You have your army, just like Pharaoh did. And in his mind, he thought he could do anything and everything that the children of Israel did without ever bowing to God. Those of you who don't trust God, you think, that bunch of fools that go there every Sunday, go there every Thursday night to hear the Word of God preached. And I guarantee you, I can go out into the world and be more successful than they can. I can get more riches than they can. I can have a finer house than they can, a nicer car than they have, a drive, have better clothes than they have, and not ever even bow to God. I can do all those things and never even bow to God. I can do all that by my own strength. You can. They made it into the sea. They made it out there. They went right out there, right in the middle, just like Israel did. But now let's read Exodus 14:23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. And all, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. The Lord did it. He took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." But it's too late then. It's too late then. When you come to His presence before God in the last day, and you find out that He's fighting against you for His people, it'll be too late to flee then. It'll be absolutely too late to flee then. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. You know, I told you before, I made this comment to you before, is that whatever it is, that fruit that you've read in Scripture where it says you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow, that fruit that you delight in, that thing that kept you from God, will be the thing that will keep you from God forever, for all eternity, if God doesn't do something for your heart. And just by the same, in the same case, what Pharaoh enjoyed and his army enjoyed so much was taking those Hebrew babies and casting them into the Hebrew male babies and casting them into the river and watching them drown, so that the Hebrews wouldn't prosper and they wouldn't grow and come up against them. And so the Lord said, "You enjoy that? That's what I'll give you." And He drowned every one of them in the Red Sea. Drowned every one of them. Now, quickly, let's see the rejoicing of faith. The rejoicing of faith. Those who believe on God will always be brought to rejoice before God for the great things He's done for us. The Lord made the people recognize Him and His servant. Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Moses could have reasoned with them on the other side to try to get the folks to believe him. He could have used a lot of reasoning. Really, he ignored them, though. He ignored them. And instead, he declared the truth to them. Instead, he prayed on their behalf. Instead, he led them as God commanded. And the result was the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Moses is a type of Christ. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He ignored all our chiding. And He ignores all our murmuring. And He makes intercession for us. And He declares the truth in our hearts. And He leads us. And we fear Him. And we bow to Him and trust Him. After we come out the other side of the trial. Every time. And thus the Lord made the people sing with delight. Exodus 15:1 says, "They sang... Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I'll prepare Him an habitation. Where am I going to prepare him a habitation? Right here, in my heart. He'll dwell in my heart. And my Father's God, and I'll exalt him. And the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths had covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Three things. There's three chief enemies we face as believers. Trials. When we face some Red Sea that we have no power to overcome. Second thing is our former sins. Like the Egyptians bearing down hard upon Israelites, our former sins bear down hard upon us. And like the unbelieving children of Israel that surrounded Moses and Aaron and those true believers, there's an old nature which often causes our believing heart to tremble. But you remember who brought Israel to the Red Sea? Who hemmed them in? And remember why he did it. One of the greatest blessings is that the Lord appoints trials for those he loves so that we might not forget that he is our salvation. That's why he gives that trial. And when he allows us to remember our former sins, and then he reminds us, I remember them no more. And when our hearts begin to tremble in fear, he speaks comfort, saying, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, O Art Darmiento, and he that formed thee, O Israel. He calls us by our earthly, fleshly, sinful name first, and then he calls us by our heavenly name, which he named us. He says, Fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And the Egyptians, unbelieving, presumptuous Egyptians, tried to do the same thing. And God drowned every one of them. Common sense tells a man, flee to Christ. Flee to him. But only God's power will make you do it. It's something so obvious, you would think there would be a mad dash to get to Christ. Something so obvious, why then won't people flee to him? Because we love our flesh, we love our kingly throne, we love our dominion, and we will not bow to him unless he makes us bow. He got to hem us up, so the only way is him, and then we'll trust him.